sunshine, little Uber, liver, liver, leap.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You're tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with my favorite gardener, your favorite gardener. It's Lance Swaggart.
Good evening. How are you out there?
Lance, great to have you here. February 11th, rolling right along towards springtime. And thanks for being here. I want to thank our guests last week, Pat Fraser and Alicia Michelson from the Learning Council. Mm-hmm. And in here talking about herbs and herb school. And I want to remind people to go to thelearningcouncil.org to check out that herb school. Lots of herbal wisdom to learn there.
Good class.
Mm-hmm. One of those 9-month things. And that's going to be meeting on the first Wednesday of each month, March through November.
Wow.
Yeah. So thank you, ladies, for being here. And I want to give the phone numbers, 970-527-4868, 1-866-KVNF now. You can email us, worm@kvnf.org. We're going to talk about pruning here in just a minute. But we do have an email from a listener. And this listener bought some property, about 8 acres, that has been neglected and is looking to rehab the land, wants to grow fruit and veggies. Trying to figure out where to start, looking for suggestions, thinking about a big worm pile and lasagna gardening. What do you think?
Well, it's a start. I'd say start small. And if you are going to have fruit trees or grapevines, prep the soil and plant them as soon as you can, because they're the ones that take 3 to 4 years before you have any production. So figure that spot out where you want to have your fruit trees and grapevines or raspberries. You know, they're the perennials that take a bit
that to, take a little bit longer
to establish.
Okay.
Yeah. And stuff. And lasagna's gardening's good. You know, that's just, you know, layering different materials right on the ground. It's a mulch. And you continue to do that throughout the season and the or seasons. You know.
And that's good for rehabbing the land. I mean,
yeah, just... and it's, the ground is mulch. It's not sitting there just you know, doing it, just being baked by the sun. Yeah, our wonderful sun that we have here.
Right.
But it's a good way to do it. It's a good way to start.
Okay.
And eventually what's nice is to be, at first when you start like this, you're going to be hauling a lot of materials. And as you get along, it's nice to be using your own materials.
Oh, there you go.
You know, I don't know if you remember Pat mentioning being – all her organic matter now is coming from her farm.
Absolutely,
You see, so there's no outside input, maybe very little.
Mm-hmm.
Strive to do that as much as possible.
That's what you're aiming for, is closing that loop and that circle.
And you might, I just start with organic matter this year and see how things grow and start relatively small. Make a list of what you want to grow.
Right.
And go from there. And a new garden... those small seeds, you know, carrots, especially, or lettuce, you know, dill will come up anytime, cilantro. But some of those small seeded things will not do very well in that first year garden.
Oh, okay.
They just
good
don't germinate.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Those things that we just typically throw out pretty early.
Yeah, pretty early. But they won't, it'd be hard to get them to come up in that situation. And the other thing they can do to jumpstart it is once they get, or just before they put their spaghetti mulch down, they could actually, I think you can actually buy it as products or know of anybody with really good garden soil, compost. It has, those things have all the bacteria you need. And if this is a neglected, worn out place, those aren't that available.
Sure. So kind of inoculate the soil, it's already inoculated, the product.
Yeah.
What about cover crops? I mean, that's kind of a big space, 8.5 acres. Would it be worthwhile to put some cover crop on a portion of that or think about growing a spot for growing plants to seed?
Yeah, you could, again, start your vegetable garden small. And if you are going to go bigger, you can start doing cover crops. And, you know, springtime, you could probably do clovers and maybe oats or some of those spring grains. But generally, they do oats in the spring. And even winter rye will come up. and do just fine. And Austrian winter pea will come up. Trapper pea or field pea is not so cold hardy, so you'd plant it maybe late March, early April.
Okay.
And, you know, so there's many things you could use.
Mm-hmm. But start small and do some planning.
Yeah.
I love this time of the year, thinking about planning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I like that, you know, what are you going to eat? What do you really want to use from your garden? What do you want to grow?
Yeah.
All right, 527-4868, 866 KVNF now, worm@kvnf.org. And here we go into it.
Yeah.
Always starting with pruning in February. And, where should we start? there is an order to it, right?
There is an order to it. And there's still, you know, you got plenty of time. You had, you know, 2 months. And even if you wait till April, you can still prune if you want to. You know, but anyways, you start with apples and pears. And again, you want to, it's mainly thinning. It's not this butcher thing, and it's not topping. You're thinning, and you want to leave some of the newer growth, last year's growth, because that's what's going to bloom the best.
Right.
You know, and you can see the difference between old growth and new growth. And you're going to thin it to where, you know, maybe every 6 to 12 inches you have new growth shoots coming up like that. Yeah.
Right. You want to watch for that new growth.
New growth.
And I think that's important that you're thinning it. You're letting it breathe. You're, shaping it sometimes.
And you're shaping it sometimes. And I'll just go back up one step.
Yeah.
If you got into some big old trees, say you've, like these people that bought this property, and there's some old neglected trees, all you would be doing was this year would be taking out crossing branches and dead branches.
Okay,
something like that. So that's the first thing you would do is any dead branches you take out and find if there's a branch. If you can't tell, take a knife and scrape the bark. If it's brown, it's dead. If it's green, it's alive.
So just in rehabbing the property, just clean out the dead branches, the cross branches. Let it breathe.
Let it breathe. And if it seems way too tall for you, cut some of those big tall ones out too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And you mentioned topping the tree, that's not a good thing to do.
No. If you're going to top a tree, it's better to bring down a tree over a 2 or 3 year period than topping it. Because what the topping will do is the trees will just send up all what is called water spouts, these suckers type things that just grow 10, 12 feet. And you've got this actually a worse problem because those branches are liable to break very easy in a
seen that before.
Yeah.
So don't top them, but you can top things like hedges.
Hedges you can top. I'm trying to think of what else you could actually top. Willows, elms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I would do is thin it first, and then if you want to bring them down, then you bring them down.
Okay.
You know, and stuff. So anyways, but the only thing I've seen, apples and pears, you could cut them back to no bud whatsoever, and they'll shoot, put new shoots out. But stone fruit do not like that to happen to them, and they generally don't reshoot. If you cut, I keep on trying it just as an experiment.
Sure, to see what.
And they generally do not put out a new shoot.
Okay, so the difference there, where are you going to prune on the stone fruit?
You're going to make sure you got a live shoot there.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, you just can't prune to a stump and think that it's going to shoot out there. It's not going to.
Right, right.
And like I said, I've tried it, and every year I got one plum tree that it's all the branches are starting to circle just because of the way the life, they're really pretty. You know, a friend took a photograph of it. You know, but I've tried from time to time. Well, let me just see if I cut it and leave a 6-inch stump to see if a shoot comes up. It never does.
Not happening, huh?
No.
Okay, so apples, pears. What about apricots?
All stone fruit bloom the best on last year's growth.
Okay, so that's the stone fruit rule.
Yeah, all stone fruit blooms the best. Now, they'll bloom on older wood, But it's and you can see it. It's supple mm-hmm. and it's a shiny.
Right.
And again, you're just going to thin some. Mm-hmm. And I always try to get them, prune them a little bit harder because they don't put out those shoots, like I said. So if you prune them a little bit harder as they're growing, those branches you've left for fruit will mm-hmm. send out more branches.
Okay, so prune the older branches harder.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you know, prune them a little bit. And to stimulate when they do start to come out that they'll put out a side shoot off of those last year's growth.
Sure.
You know, and it's a trick. You just got to keep watching. It's rather difficult to talk about pruning and the actual technique. It's a hands-on thing.
It is. It definitely is. You helped with my peach tree last mm-hmm. year, and I can definitely, now that you're talking about it, I can see it in yeah. in how that worked on my tree. I had yeah. such a great yield of peaches. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So the pruning really did help, and the thinning.
And the thinning.
And the thinning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, so apricots and plums, really about the same. Peaches, you would, well, let's go. Is it apples and pears first?
Okay.
And then you can do plums, apricots, cherries, and sweet and sour. And, you know, sour cherries, I would only prune enough to be able to get in there and harvest them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that can be pretty.
Yeah, they're more almost like a large shrub
mm-hmm.
than a
sure,
tree,
shrubby.
You know, and I think you, well, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And you would just want to thin them a little bit, again, crossing branches, dead branches, but, and if they're getting too high,
right.
you know, but the more branches you leave on, mm-hmm. the more sour cherries you're going to have.
Right. The birds love those things.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a volunteer in my hedge grove.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A sour cherry.
I have no idea where it came from. I have Nanking cherry, which is a shrub.
Uh-huh.
And
you think it blew in or
the birds brought it in? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just speaking of birds, off topic a little bit, but the birds have been a little bit crazy in the last week for sure.
Oh, really?
Probably in the last 10 days.
Okay.
Yeah. I love it when after the snow and the sun comes out and they're just out there singing uh-huh. and... Yeah, all over. And last year was such a great year, so mm-hmm. I get excited looking for
them. They love all those big trees in the neighborhood.
They do. They do.
You know, I don't have big trees like that. And I'm sorry to say I did cut down those mulberry trees. I don't know.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
that's
so
right.
Those were
big
trees.
It'll be different this year.
Yeah, it'll mm-hmm. be different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe some different birds will come in.
Different birds. The magpies are already scoping, and so
are
the
jays. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know what the magpies do in the garden, though? They raise their young somewhere in some trees around the garden area. What they're looking for is worms to feed them.
Oh, no kidding.
That's what they're doing.
Uh-huh. How smart is that?
Yeah.
Love those birds.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Lulu. I love those birds. All right. 970-527-4868-866-KVNF now. Lance is checking the email. So on the apple trees, we were talking about where they bloom.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Some bloom at the top, some bloom in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. Depending on variety, some of your apples will bloom most on the very outside tips.
Okay.
And some bloom in between the middle and the outside. Mid-range, shall we say. And then some bloom mainly in the middle of the tree. And so, you know, you can look your trees up and see where they're actually going to bloom the most, you know. And being just backyard gardeners, mm-hmm. you're still going to get production almost no matter what you want. But if you really want a little bit higher production, you would look at the variety and where they actually bloom the most.
Interesting.
And so you would prune accordingly.
Okay.
And that's going to take a couple of years to figure out.
It's, right. Just watching it and figuring out where it's growing and blooming.
Yeah. And just on the aside here, we'll talk about it later. When you mm-hmm. go to thin apples or pears, they're in a cluster. And what you want to do is if this, they call it the crown, the one in the very middle that's going directly into the stem, that's the one you want to keep. Now, if that one's gone, then you go to the biggest, any of the fruit on that whole cluster, that's the biggest.
Okay, that's a great tip. So try to keep the very middle fruit.
Yeah, that will get that will become your biggest.
Sure.
Yeah.
Good tip. Like the thinning process. Mm-hmm. It's Oh, good. Well, we've got Lulu on the line from Carbondale. Hello there, friend.
Oh, good. Hi, you guys.
Hi.
How are you going?
Good.
Good. Nice to hear from you.
Right? I'm streaming, you guys. I'm going to turn it down because it's delayed.
Wow.
It's just a little delay.
Okay.
Okay. I like magpies.
Yeah. The committee, really?
Oh, sure.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, yeah, right. Well,
Granny, get your gun.
And they're waking you up at 5 o'clock in the morning. That's not so great.
Yeah.
But anyway, I love it that you're talking about pruning, Lance, because that's probably my least... I'm so bad at it.
Uh-huh.
My least best thing I'm best at not.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's so cool. And, you know, I wanted to say something else about think about what you want to plant in your garden.
Yeah.
I like to plant a recipe. When I have a recipe that I just love.
Sure.
And I can go out into the garden and harvest and make a fabulous meal because I've got all the ingredients.
Yeah, uh-huh. There you go. That's
yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, I've
and
heard of that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really fun. But yeah. It's hard to do because of the timing, you know, trying to get everything to come in at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like cilantro, if you're going to make salsa, I mean, there you are. You're trying to make a salsa, and you got to get you know how cilantro is.
Yes.
It bolts so fast in the summer, and you want it to be there when you've got your tomatoes going, so you've got to kind of work your way into that schedule to get it all to come out right.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it's fun. It's a good thing to try for sure.
And you get it down the more you practice.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
The more you observe and figure out what your plants are doing.
Yeah. What's really interesting about cilantro is, yes, it bolts really fast, but it still takes 2 weeks for it to germinate. It's not a quick germinator.
It's slow. So, and the other thing about cilantro that's so bizarre is that it's so frost hardy.
Yeah, it's extreme.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there it is, those skinny little delicate leaves, you know, so so delicate, but it's amazingly frost hardy. You know, so you can do a lot of different you know, you could I don't know. What have you guys got going on over there? What was your temp today? Was it beautiful?
12 degrees this morning and never really quite warmed up. Probably 30 for a high.
30. It was pretty sunny, though.
It
and,
was
you
sunny,
know, the
yeah.
pavement melted and it's dry, a couple days of
mm-hmm.
warmth.
Yeah.
And we're
going to
be melting pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been beautiful over here.
Yeah.
There's a pantload of snow. It's my only... I can't. I mean, you should see. There's so much snow over here on the ranch. You can't believe it. I mean, there's a lot.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Nice to hear. Right.
Yep.
It's exciting
awesome.
To think about
so
the water.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Well, it's good to talk to you guys.
Well,
it's really fun to hear from you. And I'll get off because maybe somebody else wants to yak at you.
Okay.
So great to hear from you, and we look forward to your return in the spring. Glad you're doing well.
Doing great, and it's good to hear you guys. And yeah, carry on.
All
Happy
right,
spring. It's coming.
Okay, right. Thank you, Lulu. Appreciate
see you
it.
Thanks
later.
For
Bye.
Calling.
All right, good night. Okay, great.
Yeah,
nice to hear her voice.
Yeah.
And and I like that planning and thinking about what you're going to plant. And you're good at that. Lulu's good at that.
Think, mm-hmm.
All those ingredients kind of come together, and it's sort of like going with the seasons. Eating what's
coming along and what's there, and you know, you get more adapted to the different weather and the soil and you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, or the rhythm of it kind
mm-hmm.
of thing. And so you don't end up forcing it so much when you do get that way. So okay, 970-527-4868, 866 KVNF now. Speaking of eating, are you eating out of your food?
Oh, the pit?
Yeah, the pit.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Let's see. Last weekend, I pulled out carrots and beets, several types of beets, daikons, both red and white, kohlrabi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's what was in the pit. Oh, what's funny, it's the first time in the pit out in the garden. And don't ask me how these guys find it, but there was a baby toad and one of those peeper frogs. So I put them back, tucked them back in there, and I'll dig them out. Every time I go to get more vegetables, there they'll be because they're barely moving.
Right.
Know? And, you know, I was surprised to see them 12 inches down underneath those bales of hay. But there they were.
Oh, cool. I like it. Yeah. That's some yummy stuff you're pulling out.
Yeah. You know, and plus I still have, you know, the potatoes and onions and garlic. I baked buttercup squash in the Dutch oven by the fireplace. So
nice. Yeah. And that's part of that rhythm. That's part of that seasonal thing that you're so good at doing. All right. So we were talking about the fruit trees. And what about grapes and things like that? Where does that fall in the order or the timing?
The grapes actually would be the last.
The last, okay.
They're not till April.
All right.
And so the reason why you prune grapes late, and actually you could prune these in late April, even May, but the reason why you prune them late is if you prune them early, the sap starts running, they start growing, and they freeze.
They could freeze easily. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you prune those late. And it's okay. Now, I'm rebuilding some grape trellises right now. Mm-hmm. And so I went and to get the old trellis off, I pruned all the grape vines, but at about 12 inches above where I'm going to actually prune them to.
So just sort of got rid of some of the excess.
Yeah, and they'll be fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But and this, we've mentioned this in the past, but grapes, every bud has three buds inside of it.
Oh, right.
And the first one is the primary, and that's your most production. If it freezes, then you got the secondary, and you might get one cluster instead of two or three. And then if that freezes, which I've had happen, both freeze, the third one is strictly survival.
Interesting.
You won't get nothing, but you'll get survival. Mm-hmm. And every bud has that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's with every kind of grape.
Well, all your grapes have that kind of thing inside of them.
All right, interesting. What about berries, raspberries? If I remember right, you get pretty aggressive with.
Well, the raspberries I have are called prima canes, and you prune them to the ground. I prune them down the ground in the fall. The reason why they got developed, I don't know exactly where they got developed, but there's a cane borer that will winter over in the canes, and they can ruin a crop pretty quick. And anyway, so what you do, or in like a more humid climate, there's lots of mildews and fungus and stuff that gets on the canes.
Sure.
So what they did is they developed these varieties so that you either mow them down. I'm sure in commercial things they take a big hog brush or something and just mow them down, or you cut them down to the ground. And that's what I did in the fall. And I actually run mine through my tripper shredder and put them back in the compost.
Wow.
Is what I do.
And so that regenerates every year for you?
Every year. They'll start, depending on the season, they'll start blooming sometime in July. And I will be picking raspberries clear into October or the first frost. Yeah.
So your prune happens in the fall when you cut it almost down to the ground. What about the non-prima cane?
Yeah, I wish I actually knew the name of that. Somebody, if you know the name of the types that you could winter over the canes. And what you do is the ones that have shot up and you might have got a fall crop, might have gotten a fall crop off of them. And then they come along. And in the spring, you're going to thin them to about 6 to 7 inches, the canes, right at the ground level.
Oh, really?
And you're going to thin those. And the reason why you're thinning those, some of those canes, is to make room for the new shoots to come up for the fall crop.
Sure.
But anyways, you would just tip them a little bit. You could tell where they're dead. And generally, I would let the raspberries go ahead and start showing some growth. And then I know exactly where to prune them that I've left.
Okay.
And then once those spring or early summer canes have bore their fruit, they're going to die. So you prune them all the way to the ground. And that gives complete room for the fall crop to come up.
Wow.
So it's actually two prunings on those.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's worth it, I think. Berries just do so well.
Yeah. Well, you get, if you want both, you get the spring crop, heavy spring crop, and the primocanes, you get a fall crop clear until frost.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And blackberries, blueberries, similar? Or?
No, they're different. Well, we don't have blueberries. Some people do. Blackberries, and there's and those are vine, and they're blooming on second year growth. And and you can tell which ones are the old ones. And they in the spring, they usually have almost died back to the ground. Okay. And they're definitely a totally different color.
Okay. All right. We have a couple questions here. And, oh, we have a berry guy on the line.
Good.
It's Jer on the phone. Hi, Jer. Good evening.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good. Are you calling about berries? Because I know your berries are amazing.
Well, yeah, Lance had asked about the he could remember the primocane name,
sure.
But not the other name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the other name is floricane.
Floricane, okay.
That's,
yeah,
actually,
so
that's,
say on a blackberry, for instance, you fruit on second-year wood, so the first-year wood is a primocane.
Okay.
And the second-year wood is the floricane.
Okay.
And, all right. And so that's what it is on a blackberry and some raspberry varieties. And then what Lance is talking about, the kind that you can cut back every year, they just happen to be called primocanes as well.
Mm-hmm.
And but you can let those go and not cut them back.
Okay.
And then you will get some second-year wood fruit on those, too. We've got a variety of those on the raspberries.
Wow.
To do that.
Okay.
And the nice thing about those is, I sometimes get two crops a year out of them.
Mm-hmm.
I get an early crop and then a late crop.
Ooh, that is nice.
Yeah.
But then on the other ones that are basically biennial, those are primocanes grow the first year, and then the second year they're called floricanes because they put off the flowers and
yeah.
fruit. So.
Wow.
All right.
Learned well, something I've never heard of, floricane. I'd
good to know,
right.
Huh? Thank you, Jer.
So,
appreciate it, Jer.
Anytime.
All right, thanks.
All right.
Love them berries.
Right. That is Jer from Earth Friendly down there on the highway now
mm-hmm.
between Hotchkiss and Paonia.
Yeah.
They call that Midway. Is that
not
Midway?
Not quite, no.
Not quite Midway?
No.
Okay. All right. We do have time for one more question, and this comes from Cynthia on our email. And she has a couple questions, actually, regarding till versus no-till farming and biochar. So she says, new to farming and just trying to learn and understand what best practices are, has heard people talking about biochar and that it can be highly beneficial. Would like to know exactly what that is and what would be the best application for it, and then just in general, till or no-till.
Mm-hmm. Biochar, that's actually just charcoal from your
okay.
fireplace. But I don't know how to actually use it. I don't know what they actually – how it's actually processed to make it into the garden. You know, I actually sift my ashes and throw the charcoal into the thing, and mm-hmm. it goes to the compost and it stays – it doesn't break down. Charcoal is charcoal.
Okay.
And so if somebody else has a actual recipe for biochar, that would be good.
Yeah.
No, maybe next week because we're running out of time.
Right.
Here.
Maybe
and,
they could email us, worm
yeah.
at kvnf.org.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as till or no-till, that's up to you. I actually hand turn my entire garden in the fall
mm-hmm.
with a shovel, and I'll do a light tilling only as soil prep in the spring, and that's it.
Right.
You know.
And get that broad fork out.
Yeah, and all mm-hmm. those beds get the broad fork,
mm-hmm.
you know.
So you are a no-tiller.
Oh, no, light tiller.
Light tiller.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't –
And
I've
you,
seen...
because your philosophy, why you –
Well, if you're doing really a lot of tilling, especially deep tilling, what that's doing is it's mixing up the layers of the soil, and certain soil life lives at only certain depths.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're mixing it all up.
Right.
And
so you're just keeping that community together when
yeah,
you're
– Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Doing light tilling or broad
mm-hmm.
forking it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Cynthia, for that question. Yeah. And maybe someone will tell us about biochar.
Yeah.
Join that conversation.
I just wanted to say tilling, you know, is okay, but do you want to be behind a tiller all day or for hours on end? Let's put it that way.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it's do you have time to do the handwork? Then go for it. It's way more pleasant.
Yeah.
Hand turning the garden in the fall,
mm-hmm.
every evening for 30, 45 minutes, I got to watch the sunset.
There you go.
You see, so it's there really much more pleasant and no noise, mm-hmm. no bouncing around, you know, all
right.
that kind of stuff.
One of those added benefits
yeah.
of you know, gardening here in the North Fork, or Western Colorado.
Gasoline motors,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah. Nice. Thanks for reminding us of mm-hmm. that. Okay, well, that's going to do it for tonight. We'll be back next Tuesday just to carry on the conversation.
We'll get into the ornamentals,
okay,
and some of that stuff. And if we move on from that, we'll talk compost or, you know, we'll find something.
We will just keep on going.
Yeah.
All right, so you can email us between now and then, worm@kvnf.org, and we'll be back next Tuesday for another edition. Thanks to our callers tonight. Nice to hear from you, Lulu. And it's One Woman's Perspective coming up next. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns.
Yeah. Have a good evening.
Good night.
Who you took a shine to, or who you're about to make a sign to, I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low, and low.